Today's scripture is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. I will be reading from the New American Standard Version. Again, 1 Peter chapter 3. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of your wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. And let not your adornment be merely external, braiding of the hair, wearing of the gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with an imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear.
Thank you, Sam. Ephesians. You want to take your Bibles and go to Ephesians 5 today? I was told just before church that people were going to look in the bulletin and see the title of the sermon and they were going to leave. At least maybe the ladies, I don't know. But I pray that, and I'm thankful that is not true, and understand why that would be said. I want to encourage you to think about today's text, and even the text that we'll look at next, in relationship to the text that we looked at last week. And last week, as we think through mutual submission, and it helps keep some of the context with that. Last week we looked at Ephesians 5, 18 through 21, and we saw the Apostle Paul there in that text. He exhorted his readers and believers to live spirit-controlled lives. And he said doing so manifests certain things. We looked at some of those things. It manifests mutual edification, heartfelt praise, comprehensive thanksgiving, and mutual submission. And it is from that point in the text that Paul, without skipping a beat, he jumps right in and slides right into the next discussion of how spirit-filled submission is to operate in certain key Christian relationships within the home. Wives and husbands, children and parents, slaves and master. And I would say that in each of these categories, Paul addressed the issue of proper and biblical spirit-controlled relationships. My goal that today we would see, as we look at these, that in each of these categories, he doesn't demand submission from these groups. That's not the text. It's not what it is doing here. He's not demanding submission. But he does point out that each of them has distinct responsibilities, distinct duties that they are called to faithfully carry out in a relationship to one another. What we should take note right here up front is that Paul in this section of Scripture does not deal with rights. You talk about any of these relationships, what a husband-wife relationship looks like, how Scripture talks about it, and today you won't be able to separate that outside of the church from the word rights. We're not talking about rights this morning. Paul's not dealing with rights here in this text. We need to know that, but he's talking about responsibilities. He's talking about spirit-controlled duties. And like I said, in a culture obsessed with rights, Paul's words are a bold and challenging expression that the key to maintaining a godly Christian household is not by every member, notice, it's not by every member seeking to uphold their own rights, but it's by every member obediently striving to fulfill their God-given duties by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's the question this morning. Do we want a home, a household, that pleases and honors God. If you're here today and you're a believer, I doubt that you would say no to that. Because if we do, then we each need to hear, and we need to heed Paul's exhortation in this passage and in the passages to come. As he begins, Paul addresses first the duty and responsibility of wives to their husbands, and that's what we're going to look at today. The first principle we see in this text is wives are to submit to their husbands. Look at our text today. I want to read 22 through 24, which is where we will spend our time. Notice verse 22, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. His body and it, the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." This is a principle that I would suggest to you that I don't think you would argue with me that is misunderstood. And really, it is despised in our day. Sometimes this principle is wielded as a club by many misguided husbands. And oftentimes, it is grudgingly adhered to by many Christian women. Undoubtedly, the principle of submission is one that has been often misapplied and abused. It was never intended by God to be a stone of burden around the neck of women or an authorization for tyranny by a husband. That's not what this text is saying, and it's not how it's dealing with this. It's not the commands that we see from this. Let me say what it is, though. It was given as just one aspect of maintaining the divine order in the family. So that the church, and notice why, so that the church might be unified. That continues with the context here that Paul's been dealing with. So that God might be honored and glorified. So let's look at Paul's exhortation in these three verses. The outline is very simple this morning. We're going to look at the command first. We're going to look at the reason. And last, we're going to look at the pattern. And then our time will be done. So first, the command. The command is this: wives, submit to your husbands. We see this in verse 22. I just read that text for you. When wives submit to your husbands as to the Lord. The command in verse 22 here, the word submit is carried over from the command for mutual submission in verse 21. I mentioned that to you already. But I want us to understand that this text from 21 and then really 22 all the way down through children obey your parents and getting into chapter 6, that text is not disconnected. We're breaking it up for the sake of preaching because you would really hate me if I preached that whole text today. So we're breaking it up. Yes, I get that. But the flow of the text is all together if you're reading it in its context. It is an aspect that relates to husbands and wives, and Paul's exhortation here is consistent and similar with similar commands to wives elsewhere in the New Testament. And you can write these down. I'm not going to turn to them if you want, but Colossians 3:18, Titus 2:5, and 1 Peter 3:1-2 all have similar commands. The word that Paul uses here in this text is the word submit. To be clear, that word submit means to subordinate oneself, to submit to the orders or directives of someone. It's used in a military setting. It means to renounce one's own will for the sake of another. That's literally the idea in the context here. And no matter how we try to analyze Paul's exhortation, it still comes out that the wife's role in relationship to her husband is one of subordination, in other words, submitting herself to her husband. But before we go any further, I want to address some thoughts that may be floating in some of the minds of us in here. First, men. If this is going through your mind, amen. I'm glad that you're preaching this text today. I would encourage you to get that out of your mind right now. Erase that thought. And I would say this to you and me. We will get ours in verses 25 through 30, which, can I say to you, is the majority of this passage addresses the husbands. And to the wives in here this morning, I would say that if these words are going through your mind, but what if my husband, or but you don't know my husband, I would say erase that thinking as well. We must not jump ahead of Paul here in this text. We need to hear what he has to say in this principle. We can't let extraneous thoughts cloud the principle here. So first, the first thing, let's note three truths about this principle of submission of wives to their husband that will help us think rightly as we think about this text. I've encouraged you how not to think this morning, but let me give you three principles as we walk through this text that I think will help us to think rightly about this text. First, this idea of submitting to her husband, it does not oppress women. It's a common thing you'll hear in our culture today. It does not oppress women. Paul is often accused of being a male chauvinist. He's often accused of being a woman hater. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Apostle Paul in the first century of Christianity held women in a high esteem and compared to their standing historically in their culture, Paul held them in great regard and high esteem. Matter of fact, in Philippians 4, he commends two women who labored with him. And if you looked over to Romans 16, he commended Phoebe and Priscilla, who were his co-workers. The issue of submission is not an issue of oppression. It's not an issue of putting down women. The second way that I think it's helpful for us to think about this text, it is not saying that women are inferior. It's another common thought you will hear. Paul clearly states in Galatians 3:28 that all members of the body of Christ, men and women, are equal before the Lord. They are equal as persons before God. In fact, wives may oftentimes in a relationship be superior. And what do I mean by that? They can be superior in intelligence, courage, spirituality. They may show more discernment, organizational skills, and in hundreds of other ways that you can think of. If we're talking about skills or gifts that God has given, there are ways that my wife is far outskilled compared to her husband. Far outskilled. This is not the issue here. Submission is not an issue of evaluating natural equality or inferiority or superiority. The Bible is clear that regardless of these kinds of things in the matter of the home and the family, a wife is to be submissive to her husband. And the third thing that I want us to see, or want us to have in mind as we think about this, and I would say even the most important, it is an issue of submission to God. Notice the end of verse 22, where he says what? He says, as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Paul was not just setting forth a comparison of submit to your husbands in the same way you submit to the Lord. What is he doing here? In essence, what he's saying is that wives, when you submit to your husbands, you are showing your submission to the Lord. That's what he's saying. Paul moved the motivation for wives heeding this exhortation beyond their husbands. It is a matter between a wife and the Lord. A wife willingly submitting to her husband says to the Lord, I accept your design and desire for me within my family. And I would say the opposite is also true. A refusal to submit says to the Lord, I reject your design and your desire for me within my family. See, by subordinating herself to her own husband's leadership, as the scripture calls for, the wife serves the Lord. I would contend that a failure to submit in wives is usually not an issue of a husband demanding that the wife do something that is biblically wrong or sinful before the Lord. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes that is true. And I would say when that happens, that that the wife must obey the Lord. If your husband, if wives that are in here, if your husband asks you to rob a bank, don't rob the bank. Don't be a thief. God says it's not good to be a thief. Don't do it. It's wrong, right? If he asks you to lie, if he asks you to cheat, and so on, don't do those things. But I would say that is not the normal reason why wives don't submit to their husbands. I would say this, but a failure to submit is more often than not usually the case that a wife doesn't like how things are being done and then wants to take matters into their own hands. Let me illustrate this in a wider arena of conversation. I've heard many wives say that they have no trouble submitting to their husbands as long as they agree what their husbands are doing. You ever heard that phrase? Maybe you've uttered that phrase. I get it that this usually comes out as sarcasm, but I would say most likely there's some truth in that sarcasm, right? I'm not saying that a wife should never address the concerns with her husband and his leadership, and often she needs to be honest in communication as a helpmate. Speak honestly to your husband. But what we must see clearly is that a failure to submit is a failure to obey a higher authority, and that higher authority is God. So the point is this, the command is the wives submit to your husbands. It is the way you submit to, and it is the way you serve the Lord. Secondly, the reason. The reason is that God has ordained a functional order in the family. And we see this in verse 23. Look there with me. Let's remind ourselves of it. For the husband is the head of the wife, even the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Here Paul gives the reason for the wife's submission. And that is this, that God has ordained a divinely order in the family. Submission is not an issue of equality. It's not an issue of inferiority, as I've already said. But it is an issue of divinely ordained function or position. The head here, the word head, here is the word that speaks of authority and direction. Notice from the text, it is what? It is who, I should say. It is God who has given husbands the role and the responsibility of headship in the home. It's God who decided that. It's God who determined that's the right order for the home. It's God who says that. That position of headship carries with it a functional authority. It is because of this that wives are to submit to their husbands. It is not because husbands are superior as persons, but because they have been given the responsibility and the authority to be the head of the home. Please understand, the husband did not seek nor bid for this position. It is the position God gave him. It's God's ordained plan. It was divinely assigned. He had and has no choice. This is his role given to him by God. Paul uses an analogy to make his point clear in this text. He uses the analogy of Christ and the church. And really, in Ephesians 1, 22 and Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 15, we are told that God made Christ the head of the church, just like we are in this text. Just as Jesus Christ is the head of the church, so too is the husband to be the head of the wife. Why do I say that? It is clear that the headship of Christ over the church involves his authority over the church. Let me illustrate that to you in a different way. It would be inconceivable to think that the church would not submit itself to Jesus Christ, whom God has given authority over it. The one who leads it. The one who is responsible for it. There is no more reason for a wife to object to being under the head of her husband than for the church to complain about being under the headship of Christ. Paul drives home the point of Christ's headship by reminding his readers that it is he who secured redemption for every member of the body. We see that in the text when he says, he himself being the savior of the body. And I want to bring this up for one reason. I want to address this just for a moment. Because there are a group who try to extend this analogy of Paul to this description of Christ, and they want to make the husband the savior of the wife, just as Christ is the savior of the body. I would say to you, I would not agree with that view at all, but it is a view that's out there. It's a view that's taught. I would say this about that. Paul's intent seems to be mainly just to further describe the one who is the head of the body, Christ. He's making his point, and he's arguing that point. If anything here, Paul may be emphasizing the sacrificial nature of the position of headship, which he is going to emphasize in regard to husbands beginning in verse 25. He's going to talk about that. If nothing else, his reminder of the great sacrifice of Christ as the head of the church serves to call attention to the husband and the head of the wife and the family to great sacrifice. The point is that the headship of that position will require great sacrifice on the part of the husband, just as it did for Christ on the behalf of the church. It is a reminder too, that this headship of the husband is not a position of authoritarianism. The husband is not given the position of a dictator. His authority and his role is one that will demand great responsibility, and it's one that will demand great sacrifice. This is vitally important for wives to remember. God is going to hold the husband ultimately accountable and responsible for the headship and leadership of the home, not the wives. Husbands, we're going to talk about that. Wives, when you glimpse ahead and you grasp the selfless love and the complete love and the responsibility and the sacrifice that God is going to demand of your husband, it should make your submission easier as you obey the Lord in that. Now, I would say this. Wives, let me try to anticipate what some of you may be thinking. But what if my husband does not lead as he is supposed to? What if he is not doing what God wants him to do? You can't blame me for not submitting to that, can you? He's not fulfilling his end of the deal. How can you expect me to fulfill my end of the deal? How can you expect me to submit? Any wives ever think things like that? Don't answer that out loud, but I know they have. And not necessarily in this body, but I know that I've sat across from some in a counseling room and heard that. Granted, I would say to you that this often happens. And I would also say to we who are husbands, discredit this happens. But here's my question, wives. If you ask that kind of a question, who are you more concerned about? Yourself and your predicament, or your husband and his accountability before the Lord? Genesis 2:18 says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone, and I will make him a helper fit for him." See, all the way back in Genesis, at the original institution of marriage, we see that Eve was created for Adam because he needed someone to complement him. He needed someone suitable for him. He needed someone to help him and to complete him. And he needed this help, and his ability to fulfill his responsibility to God was aided by this helper that God gave him. his wife. Likewise, her ability to fulfill her responsibility to God was enhanced by his role to her as a husband and the head of his home. Here's the point that I'd like us to consider. When a wife is confronted with the issue of submission to her husband, is her perspective, her attitude, one in which she says, I want to compliment my husband. I want to be a help to him. I want to use the unique talents and abilities that God has created me with to be able to give and to able to help my husband fulfill his role and his responsibility that God has given him as the head of our home. The role and the responsibility that he will one day be held accountable for. In other words, ladies, is your concern as a wife that your husband be the kind of husband he needs to be because you don't like how things are going? Or is your concern because you want him to be everything that the Lord has called him to be and you want to help him to be that man? That husband. Wives, if you will step back and recognize the burden of responsibility that your husband has before God, that he has been given by God, if you'll recognize that he needs your help, if you'll recognize that God determined he needed your help and that he gave you to him as a helpmeet, that you complete him. You bring a wealth of unique talents to the task. And if the focus of your desire is to use those talents and to use those abilities to help him be the head of the home that God wants him to be, if a wife will sincerely keep this perspective, then I believe that submission will not be a problem. Matter of fact, I believe it will be a joy. She will fulfill the fundamental role for which she was created. That's what Paul lays out in this passage. That's what he was saying about the role of a wife and his command for her to submit to him. So we see the command, we see the reason. And lastly, I think what helps us with this is to see the pattern. The pattern, which is the church's submission to Christ. Look with me, and though we haven't looked at the text here for a moment, let's look at verse 24. Be reminded of what it says. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. In verse 24, Paul restates and he reinforces his exhortation for wives to submit to their husbands. And really, he supports it again by using the analogy involving Christ and the church. And as the church submits to Christ, so should the wife submit to her husband. Now, how does the church submit to Christ? How ought the church to submit to Christ? It ought to submit willingly, voluntarily, out of love for him. And I would submit to you that because of this text, likewise, a wife is not under force. She should not. She should submit willingly, voluntarily to her husband. Notice that Paul also makes note of the scope of the submission. He says here in this verse that they are to submit in everything. In everything. Now, certainly Paul does not mean that a wife is to blindly obey her husband and do what is sinful and ungodly and biblically wrong. That's not what Paul's saying. But in everything, every lawful thing in the marriage relationship, the wife is called to submit to her husband. Submit to her husband's leadership, just as the church is called to submit to Christ's leadership and authority. See, in Paul's mind, it is this. There is no limit to the wife's submission to her husband, just as there's no limit to the submission of the church to Christ. When we say this, we must keep in mind that Paul does not deal with wives independently from dealing with husbands. As I mentioned at the beginning, we're doing that here today. If we wanted to keep the flow of the text, we would dive right into the next passage. But his perspective of a wife's complete subordination to her husband is based on his expectation that the husband will fulfill his God-given responsibility to his wife. That the husband will be, that he will be complete and selfless and love, which Paul is going to address in the next text. See, Paul's idea for marriage and for the home is not pictured, not a picture of the wife yielding to every woman fancy of her husband. In other words, the husband's just walking around the house saying, wife, do this, or wife, do that, or wife, go here, or wife, go there. If it was up to me on that, like my wife, she helps me keep my calendar. She helps me keep organized. She says, Greg, you can't schedule that because you already have this scheduled. And so like I put a ton of things on my phone, but my wife really helps me in that area. She's a blessing in that area. I certainly would not think about doing that to her. His view is one of wives giving complete submission to the husbands who are, and notice, who are committed to exercising complete love. And I would say, though, each often falls short. A wife in her submission and a husband in his love often fall short. God's desire, nonetheless, and God's design for their roles and functioning of the marriage relationship cannot be abandoned because of our own shortcomings. It's still God's design, and it's still God's plan. See, the call for every wife is to submit to her husband just as the church submits to Christ. That's the point of this text. I realize this is not a popular message in our world today. But can I share something with you? Neither is the rest of the Bible. My goal is not, to stand up here and tell you what I think about the husband-wife relationship. My goal today is to pull out what Paul is saying in this text, what he's commanding, and what that relationship looks like. So let me close with this. As Paul begins to address the household duties of the Spirit-filled believer, he speaks to wives first here. Wives are to submit to their husbands. And let me encourage you to remember the truths that I gave you in the beginning to help you think clearly and rightly about this. Biblical submission does not oppress women. Does not mean women are inferior. But a wife's submission to her husband is really submission to the Lord. It's really a matter of obedience to God. See, as we think through this, the reason God has ordained a functional order in the family, the husband has been given the responsibility of being the head of the home. The husband's headship is not an issue of superiority. We talked about that, and it's not superiority, and a wife's submission is not an issue of inferiority. But I would say to you that both of those roles, although we're dealing with one today, both of those roles are an issue of being and walking obedient in obedience to God. And the roles that he's created and he's designed for the home and the marriage to function as he designed it to function. Wives need to keep a perspective of submission that seeks to help her husband fulfill his God-given role. The pattern here is the wife is to submit herself to her husband in the same way the church submits itself to Christ. Ladies, I know that submission is an issue that can raise many hackles and cause many women to throw up their defenses and throw out many excuses. But let me challenge you this morning to fulfill your duty to your husband. And that you would fulfill it willingly and joyfully. Be the complement in his life that helps him to be the leader of the home that God wants him to be. And can I say to you that God will honor your obedience to his design and his plan for the home. It is a matter of submission to God, obeying and following God's determined plan. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this text. We thank you not only for the text that we looked at today, but as we talked about this whole text collectively. And God, as we look at the role of the wife today in submitting to her husband, we live in a world that hates this message, that despises it, that gets angry and wants to act out in rage against what is even being said here. God, I pray that you would help us as believers to trust your word, to trust your design, to trust your plan. God, there's not one of us in this room, husbands or wives, or any other person in this room that does not have their own shortcomings. Lord, we all fall short of what you've called us to and the expectation that you have for us. And yet we also know that if we have trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior, Lord, we also have been given the gift of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the one who indwells us. And Lord, we know because your word tells us that if we will submit to the truth of your word and submit to the work of the Spirit, that these things which we are talking about today and the things which we will talk about in the days to come are only possible because of your work in our lives. God, the home is under attack. Satan wants to destroy it. He wants to destroy marriages. He wants to tear down husbands. He wants to destroy the husband and wife relationship. He wants to destroy their children. And God, I pray that you would help us to heed your word. Help us to stand fast together. Help us to know that these things that you are calling us to are good and righteous. Even if the world says they're not, they're good and righteous, and it's good and right for us to obey them and to uphold them. And I know we're specifically speaking to wives today in this text, but Lord, I pray not only for the wives in this room, the women who will become wives as they think about that, but I pray for the husbands as well. I pray, God, that you would use the ministry of your word to help us think rightly and biblically through your design plan for our function in the home. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see today that by your design, wives were created to be a helpmeet to their husbands. It is your design, and it is good. And Lord, I pray for your Spirit to control our thoughts. May they be guided by the truth of your word as we think through these topics. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.